This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stasio. When you visualize a Civil War soldier, you're likely picturing a sepia-colored photo, a young white man in a tattered uniform holding a rifle. But there were African Americans, runaway slaves as well as freedmen, who served in the Civil War. It's estimated that some 5,000 to 6,000 black men escaped their masters and served the Union forces. Those soldiers trained in the town of New Bern after it fell in March of 1862. As part of our series, North Carolina Voices, the Civil War, we're going to consider the role of the so-called colored troops of New Bern. Richard Reed's going to help us. He's an associate professor of history at the University of Guelph in Ontario, and he's written a book called Freedom for Themselves, North Carolina's Black Soldiers in the Civil War Era. Richard Reed, thanks for being with us.
It's my pleasure.
Now, Abraham Lincoln didn't want to bring black soldiers into the Union Army at first. Why not?
Well, initially, most people thought the war would be fairly short, that it wasn't supposed to be about slavery. And Lincoln was particularly concerned that if slavery was introduced as a major issue, he might lose the loyal border states of Maryland, Kentucky, and Missouri.
So he wanted he wanted not to bring this the issue in. It was about slavery. He didn't want to say it was about slavery, leave it as states' rights. I mean, there were also some fairly racist views along these lines that Lincoln held. We have to be honest, right?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, it was, in the eyes of most people, as they would articulate, a white man's war. And they saw no reason for the blacks to be involved in the first year or two.
And the fact is that black soldiers served in the Revolutionary War. They served in the War of 1812. So they had some record of service in the military.
That's true. And black sailors, we often forget, served all through this period. There were black sailors serving in the war right from the very start.
So now, in 1863, things change for Lincoln. He decides to go ahead. What changed his mind?
Well, the war had turned out to be far more bloody and costly than anybody had expected. The number of volunteers was dropping off. There was pressure on him, both from inside the country and from outside the country, to end slavery in the course of the war. And then I guess the border states, that issue had been firmed up. So Lincoln was willing to involve the blacks at that point, and it probably spoke to his inner instincts as well.
Who were serving? Who were the African Americans who fought in the Union Army?
Well, you had free blacks in the North who make up the bulk of the regiments raised in the North, and the Glory Regiment, the 54th Massachusetts, is the best known. But a majority of the slaves that made up the 180,000 blacks who serve in the Army came from the South, and the vast majority of those would have been ex-slaves, probably illiterate, between the ages of 18 to 28, would have come from states right from Texas to Virginia.
Right. And interestingly enough, these folks had already found themselves, in many cases, under Union protection. It had been that way for a couple of years, and the Union just didn't quite know what they were going to do with all these folks that had come to them for protection.
Well, as soon as the Union began to capture parts of the coastline, Virginia and North Carolina, South Carolina, blacks began to vote with their feet and seek freedom on their own. So places like New Bern by 63 had become the center of a large number of black refugees. And in the early years, they contributed in terms of manpower and labor to the buildup of the Union logistics.
Were there African Americans fighting for the Confederacy?
There were African Americans who early on and late on get raised into unions, into units. In Louisiana, the free black population there, the gens de couleur, offered themselves early on to the Confederacy, and the Confederacy raises some regiments, doesn't arm them. But quickly, when New Orleans is taken, the the free blacks there offer themselves as the Louisiana Native Guard, and they fight for the Union. At the very end of the war, the Confederacy attempts to raise black troops, make pass legislation for this, but they never engage in combat. I don't think they're ever armed. But that's a center point of this conflict. And I think, you talked about the number of blacks from North Carolina who served in the war, maybe 6,000 or so. But as important as the number was what they represented. When the Confederacy began to talk about using black soldiers, one of their generals, Howell Cobb, talked about the proposition being the most pernicious idea that had been raised. And then what he then said, I think, is really important. If slaves make good soldiers, then our whole theory of slavery is wrong, but they won't make good soldiers. So these black soldiers in North Carolina who were fighting and showing their abilities were, at one level, undermining the whole thesis of slavery.
And your book, the title of the book, Freedom for Themselves, is important to understand. Tell us about that title and why that concept is important to the whole notion.
Well, I took the title from a letter written by General Benjamin Butler, and I have a confession to make. I like Benjamin Butler for...
We won't tell anybody.
Okay. It's safe. I mean, Southerners who called him Beast Butler and Spoons Butler have a different view. Although Butler did not...
I wasn't familiar with that. Now, how did he get the name? Now, Beast, I maybe could figure out. Spoons? Where does Spoons Butler come from?
The Beast comes from the general order that he issued in New Orleans after some of the ladies in New Orleans had demonstrated their contempt for Union soldiers in terms of one person dumping a chamber pot on Admiral Farragut. And he passed a general order saying that the women who engaged in abusive treatment of by looks and gestures and words of Union soldiers could be treated like women of the streets plying their trade. That got him. The spoons came from stories about his tendency to nationalize silverware in the southern homes where he stayed. So
I see. Well, so two epithets, clearly not a favorite among Confederate soldiers, but this letter now is the genesis of the title.
I was going to say not a favorite among Union people who thought that he wasn't a very good general.
I see.
But he, though he came late, he came to believe that black soldiers were every bit as capable as white soldiers. And the title this letter comes after his soldiers under his command had attacked New Market Heights outside Virginia. And he rode across the battlefield after it, and hundreds of bodies were still lying on it. And he wrote home to his wife, and he said that he could understand white soldiers fighting. They had all kinds of positive things they could achieve, fame, status, careers afterwards. But for the black soldiers, they received none of this from the larger society. But what they were fighting for was freedom for themselves and the race forever. So I used the title Freedom for Themselves to give some indication of the agencies that black had through this period.
Was there something unique about the experience of African-American soldiers in North Carolina?
Well, unique from other black soldiers? Probably not. What I liked about the soldiers in North Carolina was that the four regiments covered a gamut of the black experience. One of the regiments, the 1st North Carolina, or the 35th U.S. Colored Troops, as it became, was a really good regiment. It took part in the Battle of Alusty, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, helped to keep it from becoming an absolute disaster. It was just a defeat. But some of the other regiments, like the 37th that was raised last, for reasons beyond probably the control of the soldiers, it was not terribly good. And then there was the last regiment, which is an artillery regiment, never left the state, was used more as laborers in blue uniforms. So from the back experience, they're probably similar to the experience of large numbers of other black soldiers. compared to white soldiers, blacks did have some things that were unique. I mean, they faced many of the same dangers, they faced same boredom, etc. But for black soldiers, there was always the possibility that in combat, if captured, they would face atrocities. And the black regiments are involved in two events, the North Carolina soldiers, in two events, where the possibility of atrocities are raised after the fact.
We're going to talk about those and more of the experience of the colored troops in the Civil War as we continue our conversation today with Richard Reed. He is the author of Freedom for Themselves, and that conversation on the state of things continues from the State of Things at North Carolina Public Radio, broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Please stay with us. This is the State of Things broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stasio. Today, talking about African-American soldiers in North Carolina who fought during the Civil War. It's part of our series, North Carolina Voices, the Civil War. My guest, Richard Reed, professor of history at the University of Guelph in Ontario, Canada. His book is called Freedom for Themselves, North Carolina's Black Soldiers in the Civil War Era. He said, Richard, that the fact is, General Butler finally came to realize that he would have some good soldiers in black troops who were fighting for their own freedom. Not everybody agreed, not even in the Union. Black soldiers faced a fair amount of, in fact, a lot of racism in their own ranks, didn't they?
That's true. And the irony is that even for those people who supported black soldiers, who tended to be northern abolitionists, they saw black troops from the north being superior to black troops from the south. So these black soldiers faced racism and probably regionalism as well.
Tell us a little bit about their training and how the command worked. They were under white command in these regiments.
Yes. The assumption was always that when they raised the black soldiers, they would be under white officers. Two minor exceptions. In some cases, they would allow chaplains or surgeons, people outside the normal chain of command, to serve, but all line officers would be white. In the case of the North Carolina regiments, they were, by and large, staffed by white officers from Massachusetts. And they were, there was no set program of training and preparation for the Civil War regiment. They often learned on the job, so to speak. But certainly the first regiments that were raised under General Edward Wild got a good deal of training, some preparation. He had seen combat himself. He knew what was responsible. The last regiment that's raised in North Carolina, however, this is after Wild has moved away from the state, doesn't get the same kind of training, goes into combat only partially formed, and is used, and this is true of a lot of black regiments, for labor battalions. They don't have time to train because they're too busy policing camps, building fortifications, pulling weeds, etc. So there was a real difference in the preparation of the various regiments, and I go into that in some detail.
And you talked, too, I think a little bit earlier, and I'd like to ask you to talk a little bit more about how common this experience was. You say, we've got four regiments here. You say the 35th and 36th more or less fought well. They drew some praise, I think, especially the 35th. 37th fought poorly. The 14th Artillery didn't fight much at all. How common is that sort of span of engagement and experience to other regiments throughout the South or in the Union Army?
Well, I thought that it was fairly common. You talked about the prejudice and opposition to black troops. There were a lot of Union senior commanders who did not want to use black troops. So when they're first used, the assumption is they will be used for garrison, for labor details, for provost guards. And a lot of black troops never get into combat, and most of their deaths are from disease. There are a limited number of regiments. I suppose the best known is the 54th from Massachusetts. And it becomes a fighting regiment because the governor of Massachusetts and the commander of the regiment, Shaw, really push for it. But a lot of black regiments were not engaged in major battles.
You talked about a white Confederate commander who didn't want to raise black regiments because it would undermine the theory of white supremacy. Did black soldiers feel that way, too, that they were, in a way, proving themselves?
There is a problem that we don't have records, the kind of records for black soldiers that we have for white soldiers. I mean, white soldiers are writing letters, and more importantly, the letters are valued and kept at various archives. We don't have that kind of wealth from black soldiers, but we have stories and anecdotes that come out in which blacks make perfectly clear that when they put on the uniform, when they took up a gun, they felt they had changed from being a slave, perceived as a boy, and had become a man.
And I was going to say, there is some evidence of this when, was it the 37th marched into Wilmington?
Absolutely. That was the incident I was thinking about where a mother saw her son in the ranks and rushed out to greet him, and another soldier was describing this, that he had left a slave and he'd come back a man. Hmm. And that is a powerful force within the black community. Hard to measure, hard to quantify, but clearly powerful.
What role did the town of New Bern itself play in all of this?
Well, New Bern was the center for the Union effort in eastern North Carolina, and it became the focal point for a lot of the black refugees who managed to make it the Union lines. So when Wilde came down to North Carolina to raise this brigade of black soldiers, he came to New Bern. That was the center of his recruiting effort. That was where the first regiments were raised. And so it had this importance all through the war. Of course, it was also an area that drew blacks who wanted to do other things rather than serve in the army. And there was an ability for blacks to make some choices in New Bern as to whether they would join the army or find jobs with quartermaster's stores or the jobs that were necessary to support a military effort. So blacks in New Bern had some opportunities, but they showed their patriotism to the Union cause.
Now, what about after the war? Did life, day-to-day life for those who had served in the Union Army change? Did they remain in the South? And what was life like for them?
Yeah. Many of the blacks who had served in the Army came back to the same area that they had been raised. Some seem to have gone back into a life that was not terribly altered. Those soldiers who had, such as the soldiers in the 35th, who had spent a good deal of their service outside the state, they often stayed in different areas that they had belonged, that they had made friends, or more importantly, I suspect, found wives or sweethearts. Hmm. For the soldiers that came back to North Carolina, my finding was that many of them slipped back into a life that left little records, probably full of hardships and destitution. There were prominent blacks who played major roles through the Reconstruction, but a lot of them had been blacks, some from North Carolina, who'd gone north, and there was a northern cachet with their experience. So at the local level, these black veterans played an important role, and Wilmington was one area. But I was surprised that they weren't able to translate their military service into future public careers, as certainly as white soldiers could do. But they were, after all, blue veterans in a gray state.
Yeah. Richard Reed, thank you so very much for talking with us.
It was my pleasure.
Richard Reed's a professor of history at the University of Guelph in Ontario, Canada. If you'd like to learn more about the role of African-American soldiers during the Civil War, you can read his book, Freedom for Themselves, North Carolina's Black Soldiers in the Civil War Era.